Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. And I have just one verse for you to start, and then we'll be kind of bouncing around Proverbs a little bit tonight. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 18. The Bible says there that the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we come to you tonight and conscious of getting ready for revival meetings here in a couple weeks. And Lord, I pray you bless Brother Friesen as he gets ready to preach. He'll be pulling sermons now and thinking some things through. And so I pray you'd be with him. Lord, we pray you'd be with us. Again, we never know when the last service will be held at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Father, this could be the last revival if you let us get that far. And so I pray you'd help us make the best of it. We prepare our hearts here a little bit, even tonight. And I pray you'd help folks to began that careful journey even now as we are a week or so away. But I pray you'd be with our folks in Malawi, or rather in Mexico right now. We'll be going to Malawi by the grace of God in April. All the preparation that has to go into that, and I pray you'd just please bless it. Lord, we ask that you might breathe upon the service tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a real basic statement there in verse 18. Probably doesn't deserve all the confusion that it's wrought. It says the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And like I said, sounds real basic and really is basic. It'd be helpful, I suppose, to just mention a few words here so we know what we're talking about. Okay, so the simple. The simple are the subject of the verse, the simple inherit folly. And Paul said in Romans that he would have us be simple concerning that which is evil and wise concerning that which is good. And that simply is letting you know that you don't have to go experience and have full experience with all the evil before you know you should stay away from it. And you should be simple concerning evil. Basically, simple, most of us would probably define simple as being naive or unwise or foolish, a person like that. And that verse says that the simple, the naive, the unwise inherit folly. And an inheritance is something you get from your parentage, or else you get it from somebody else who passes it on to you. And when it says the simple inherit folly, again, not to beat you to death with words here, but definitions, but let me remind you for a second what folly entails. There's probably 30 or 40 verses in the Bible with folly in it. I would remind you that it's very serious. It's not something light. What went on between Hamor the Hivite and Dinah back in Genesis 34 was termed folly. So very serious stuff, right? Achan was guilty of folly when he stole the gold and the Babylonish garment. It cost his life. In Judges 19, the men of Gibeah, you remember the whole story about the man whose concubine from Bethlehem, Judah, ran off and so on and so forth. And so he went together and they wound up coming into Gibeah to spend the night. The Gibeonites spread around about the house. And what happened there, without going into detail, was the Bible says folly. So folly is not some light little thing. Amnon and Tamar, the Bible said, were guilty of folly. In fact, Job said that it was the fallen angels when they fell, that when they chose to follow Satan in the rebellion, that was folly. False prophets are guilty of folly, according to Jeremiah 23. And In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Jannes and Jambres, the two sorcerer magicians of Egypt, were guilty of folly. And so when the Bible says the simple inherit folly, then, you know, it's a major, major issue. And that's what happens. The simple
that inherit folly.
And that inheritance, you have to admit there's a disturbing pattern with sinners. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but a lot of us have, that it seems like alcoholics beget alcoholics. And dope heads beget dope heads. And a wife that's beaten, if she divorces her husband, may very well marry another wife beater. And when they have kids, way too often, the daughter grows up to marry a wife beater. It's just this trend. And the Bible says the simple inherit folly. There's a real problem. In fact, it's such a trend that there have been some preachers and some seminar gurus that have kind of made a living out of trying to make this generational sin thing revolve around curses and genealogy and demons and stuff. But it doesn't say that you inherit your folly necessarily. Because your father was an alcoholic doesn't mean you have to be one. Okay? Because it's the simple that inherit folly. It doesn't say the son inherits the father's folly necessarily. It says the simple inherit folly. So we need to look at this for a little while. There's a family that I grew up around. In fact, one of the sons was one of my best friends. And we ran around together. We hauled hay together and farmed some together and played football together, rode back and forth to school quite a bit. And all of his dad's brothers, I mean, all the brothers were just rascals. And they all had their own passel of sons. And each segment, I mean, that whole family was just, I mean, it just went from the depth of one sin to the depth of another. And my friend was probably one of the, at least when I knew him and was around him a lot, was one of the best of the bunch. His dad, again, we were pretty close neighbors. His dad actually got saved midlife, 35, 40 years old, and really turned his life around. And I think that had an effect on my friend. But we went back a few years ago. I mean, we would go, that family rented some of my dad's property to deer hunt every year. And so they had a deer camp set up that, they'd go to. And, we'd go down there sometimes at night, me and dad. And, boy, I tell you what, when those guys got together, it was a pretty rank gathering of individuals. And I saw stuff and heard stuff there that was my first experience hearing some stuff and seeing some stuff. So, again, it kind of ran in that family. And then my friend, in my view anyway, being the best of the bunch. And then I went back a few years ago. We actually stumbled upon those guys. And there was my friend sitting there. And, man, he was as rough as a cob, just like the rest of them. And the Bible says the simple inherit folly. And it does seem to run in families and generational things like that. So I need to try to square some of that up. First of all, one of the things the Bible teaches me is that, yes, sin is genetic, but only in the sense that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were begotten by Adam and Eve, who were fallen sinners. And so we were born in the image of Adam. So every one of us is born into this life with a fallen nature and with a proclivity towards sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? So in that respect, sin is genetic. But in the respect that a wife beater will automatically beget a wife beater is not true. At least it doesn't have to be true. In other words, I'm telling you that, that the issues that revolve around sins being passed on from father to son to grandson revolve around what goes on in the family. It revolves around not the genetics of it so much as what's taught, what's allowed, what somebody not being trained, somebody not being disciplined, those sort of things. I may inherit mannerisms from my father. I got male pattern baldness from somewhere. But that's not the same as inheriting alcoholism or being a dope head or something like that. So I'm still responsible for my sins and behavior. So let me talk to you this tonight for a little while. It's pretty simple stuff, really, about why the simple inherit folly. It's the simple that inherit folly, not necessarily the son or the grandson. It's the simple. The simple is the key. The first reason that the simple inherit folly is because in verse 18 of chapter 14, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The reason the simple inherit folly, it doesn't have anything to do with genetics. It has to do with them not being prudent. Okay? Look, if you will, again, back and forth a little bit here in Proverbs. I'll just take you, first of all, up to chapter 14, verse 18, down to 14. We are in 14, 18. Never mind, 14, 15. The simple believeth every word. Oh, no, that's a problem. One of the reasons the simple inherit folly is because they believe every word. It says they believe every word. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A prudent man won't believe every word. All right, so there's a real danger for us today. If you think I'm too old to be much connected with the internet, it's nice of you to think so, because I would be better off to be that way. But that puts the millennial generation and down into real danger, because you constantly allow yourself to be bombarded with it. I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying that I'm exposed to internet every day, okay? So I'm not excluding myself. If you think I'm too old, then God bless you, but it's not true. But you are pummeled with propaganda every day. You hear something long enough, it creeps its way in and gets its little fingers into the crevices, and pretty soon it takes hold. And I don't care what you say, but if you're going to entertain that sodomy or some other form of perversion is now respectable because it's respectable in society, you're a very simple fool. The Bible says there in verse 15 that the simple believeth every word. Our country has been pounded so long with evolution that an awful lot of people believe it. We've been pounded by one thing versus another. Some of the reasons that people have such cracked out ideas about politics these days, it's for that very reason. They have been pounded perpetually, generationally, with this message. And the simple inherit folly. And one of the reasons the simple inherit folly is because in verse 15, the simple have a tendency to grow, at least, to believe every word. That is subjecting yourself to brainwash. The only opinion that you should believe every word of is the Bible. You can believe every single word of the Bible. Now study it, rightly divide it, right? All those things. But you can believe every word of the Bible. Whoever else you pick, you can't believe every word. You can't believe every word I say. You need to check me out with the Bible. Because the simple believe every word. That's not all. Look back in verse 8, chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. All right, again, you're wind up, juxtapositioning, the simple and the prudent. Well, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The prudent has a relationship with understanding. That doesn't stop there. Go back to chapter 8, verse 12. And notice, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Okay, well, the prudent man is the one that's set in contrast to the simple man. And for at least the prudent man, wisdom says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. The reason that the simple inherit folly is because they're not prudent. Prudence is connected to, if you will, in chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. I'm not talking about what an evolutionist says is true. I'm talking about real knowledge. Where are you going to get real knowledge from? From the Bible. In verse 16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. In chapter 16, verse 21, notice, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. Okay, there's somebody, we said that they're knowledgeable, they're wise in heart, they have understanding, and they deal with knowledge. That's connected with prudence. The reason the simple inherit folly is because they will not act in wisdom. They don't want knowledge. In fact, let me just show you another important verse here. Chapter 22, verse 3. You don't have to turn far, but you're going to turn a lot here for just a little while. Proverbs 22, where it says this, in verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. A prudent man has foresight, and a simple man doesn't. So the simple inherit folly. But the prudent knows to hide himself, because a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple believe every word. They are not prudent. The simple do not associate them. They don't learn much. They can't be told anything. I'll get more to that later. Generational folly is pretty much what culture does. It's pretty much how America runs. It's how Russia runs. It's how China runs. This conglomeration of people that live here and live in China and live in Russia, they all develop this culture. And our culture is different from Chinese culture in many respects, but it's not different in the fact that generationally the simple inherit folly. And that is, my mom and daddy teach me to help me learn to make bad decisions, and I make bad decisions, and I'm not disciplined, and I'm not disciplined, and there are no boundaries for me, not the right boundaries anyway for me. And so I develop this folly, and then I in turn pass it on to my kids. It's not genetic. It's all learned. And so in Russia, there's this perpetual exploding problem with alcoholism. Okay? That's not genetic. It's not genetic. They are not prudent. Standard procedure in society is the simple inheriting folly. Evolution, the welfare mentality. They have a tendency to believe every word. And so along that line, I just should say, without trying to offend anybody or anything, but ladies and gentlemen, your grandfather being a slave, your great-great-great-great-grandfather being a slave has nothing to do with your lot in life. That's the simple inheriting folly. You're taught an attitude. I don't care what you say. The dirty, stinking white man that broke the treaty with Indians, which I regret. I mean, I'm sorry. It's because, you know, it was wrong. But I'm sorry that there's not a Native American drunk today that can blame the white man for his drunkenness. Because the simple inherit folly. He should have gotten the truth and broken the bond a long time ago. Because it's not genetics that establishes that you're a sinner or how you sin. It's your simplicity. It's your naivete. It's your not being wise. It's your parents passing it on and you trust them. They don't protect you. They don't discipline you. They themselves have the sins, and so they pass the sin to you, and you learn the sin. But it's the simple that inherit folly, not the grandson. It's not a chromosomal issue. A lot of folks don't know Christ. They don't know the power of God. I mean, in Russia, in China, I mean, the vast, vast majority are all lost, blind people. They are people that do what lost, blind people have been taught to do. And so generation by generation, for scores of generations, the simple inherit folly. And the same thing is true here. We just keep passing on sin to the next generation, but it's learned. It's the sinner's simplicity that's the danger. It's him not being prudent. I want to say furthermore, there's a second thing. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 26. The verse said that the simple inherit folly. In Proverbs 26, there's this down in verse 11. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Again, folly, right? That's the connection. Okay. What does the verse say? As the dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You know what's natural for dogs? Hygienic issues. And they'll puke and go back and eat it. It's just as natural as it can be. And that's the problem with the simple. He yields to his urges. For him, it's a natural thing to do. He yields to his urges. If you will, look back to chapter 14. There's lots of verses we could turn to. I'm going to try to cut it down. I don't want to keep you here all night. So chapter 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Remember, the prudent man had understanding, right? Right? You remember that? Okay, good. Because that wasn't that long ago, really. So if your Alzheimer's kicking in now, you don't have a very long memory at all. Verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit is exalted folly. What's a guy that's hasty of spirit? Well, that's a guy who, in verse 29, he gets mad, and he's not been taught discipline or self-control. He's not serving anybody so that he wants to control himself. He gets mad, and so he does what he just naturally wants to do when he's mad. He acts in haste. It says in verse 29, he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. What is that? That's somebody yielding to urges. Whatever his flesh says do, he does. Whatever the flesh urges him to do. Whatever the flesh lusts for, that's what he does. And that's why the simple inherit folly. They follow their urges. They follow their heart. The Michael Landon gospel. Right? Look, if you will, in chapter 15, verse 21. 15:21. See, there's these interconnections in the Bible that if you don't pursue the words, you just don't get them, right? But in chapter 15, verse 21, I'm telling you, there's some preachers that have made a pretty good living promoting the idea of generational curses and even generational demons. And it's nonsense. The simple. It's a character trait. The simple inherit folly. Not the genetically inclined. Proverbs chapter 15, down in verse 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Now, the man of understanding, remember, is connected with being prudent. Remember that? Good. Because folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Folly is joy. I mean, folly can be fun. And everybody knows that you want to have fun. So the simple follows what makes him happy. If you spend your lifetime pursuing happiness, you're going to be simple. And according to the Bible, the simple inherit folly. Look at one more here, 7:7. In fact, we may visit this again. 7:7. There's something, I guess, kind of famous that young men do. Now young women, if they're not careful, do the same thing. But young men have a reputation for it. 7:7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, so he's not prudent, right? And it's already said he's simple. Passing through the street near her corner, this is the strange woman of verse 5, through the street near her corner he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart, and everybody knows what happens, right? Okay, what's that guy doing? He's following his urges. He's living for the lusts of the flesh, right? He's following his urges. Again, the issue in Russia and Germany for the drinking problems, as if we don't have our own, has nothing to do with genetics. It has to do with culture, true enough, but really what it has to do with is the simple inherit folly. They watch their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers and their fathers gurgle booze, and so they gurgle booze. It's that way. The bastardization problem. I just decided not to prettify the word, okay? There's a bastardization problem. We now pay people to be baby factories. Illegitimate baby factories. And we wonder why there's a problem. Well, the simple inherit folly. They follow their urges. I can't tell you how many guys I've dealt with who had, you know, character issues. They were lazy. They were a liar. They were punchy. By that, I mean somebody who carried a chip around on their shoulder. And I can think of a couple that, you know, they were just really chippy. And lo and behold, guess what happened? Their sons grew up chippy, where they had a insecurity. And buddy, when you said the magic word, they were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. And it wasn't an ugly word. It was just a subject comes up, they feel disrespected, and they are ready to go right now. And the son winds up just like the father. Now, folks, that's not genetic. That's the simple inheriting folly. That's a father that doesn't have sense enough to curb his own issues and then pass on to his kid how he should curb his issues. And so that's really the issue, is a dad, if you're not careful, your son will watch how you handle things, how you deal with mom, how you deal with women, how you deal with pressure, how you deal with stress. If you're not careful, you're going to teach him to do the same thing. And it has nothing to do with him being, the apple not falling far from the tree because of genealogy. It has to do with what you've taught him to do. The simple inherit folly. Part of that whole issue is, I guess I just bring it up, is bad decisions. Just bad choices. Some decisions, if you're not careful, the son makes the same decisions as multiple generations before him made in dealing with things and issues of sin, of not saying no. No is one of the most valuable words to teach a kid. That's coming from an old guy. And I was told no, and when Dad said no, Dad meant no. And I tell you what, my dad was a hypocrite because he smoked like a freight train. He told me if he ever caught me smoking, he'd tear my hide. And he would tear my hide off. And so, lo and behold, even though he was a smoker, I never was. Never did, never have. And I learned that from a hypocrite. Now, I'm not promoting hypocrisy here. But it's better to teach somebody, you know, it's better. Dad always said he was trying to raise a better man than he was. And I appreciate that. Dad was not a devoted, super spiritual Christian. He was saved. Southern Baptist saved. You know, kind of smoking between Sunday school and church saved. He was saved. But he had, he was old school enough and had the sense enough to know that his kid needed to know no. Nowadays, folks, as the darkness creeps, fewer and fewer Christian people know to tell their kids no. And a kid has to learn no. He has to learn no from you, or else he'll never learn no from God. And it's just easier if you learn no from God so that the kid sees you saying no to yourself. So when you say no to him, he understands no. Because one day he's going to wind up all by himself in the big, bad, slimy, greasy world. And if he doesn't know no for himself, he ain't going to say no. And the simple will inherit folly. It's the way we are. I hate to say this, but I know a lot of Christian guys that are divorced and remarried. The fundamentalists would pull their hair out at that statement. But here's what I found. I found it even among Christians, that, you know, a guy makes a bad choice and marries a battle axe, a Jezebel. And they have a get a divorce. He remarries another battle axe. I know three or four Christian men that are on their second and third marriages, and they keep marrying Jezebels. Something's going wrong here, because the simple keep inheriting folly. Bad decisions. Okay, there's something else I'd like to mention, and we'll get back to Scripture in just a second. I'll give you some examples here. Sometimes the problem is ungodly loyalty. You ever stop to think about, here is Ruth, we view her as a heroine, not a heroine, but like a female hero. And she is one. But how easy would it have been for her to stay in Moab? After all, her sister-in-law stayed in Moab. And just let Naomi go on back to her people and start all over, keep her culture, keep her gods. But that's not what she chose. How easy would it been have been for Hezekiah to continue just right along the way with his ungodly father, and Josiah to have done the same thing, the son of Ammon. Hezekiah was the son of Ammon. Josiah was the son of an ungodly father. And both those guys broke the mold, broke free from whatever it was that bound them, and they did not inherit folly. Both those guys broke away and became literal heroes of the faith, two great kings. Well, ungodly loyalties undermine it. Ungodly loyalties cause the simple to inherit folly. Because, you know, how many generations of guys love their mamas so much that they won't break away? How many generations of mamas love their boys and their wicked girls so much that they let them do whatever they want to do? It's ungodly loyalty. And that's why sometimes we have to, you know, take real stock of ourselves to realize that sometimes the people that love us manipulate us because they think we're wrong. They don't agree with how you're raising those kids. There's nothing wrong with Halloween, you know? And why, you know, you won't let him dress up and go trick-or-treating like we let you do it? You mean you turned out all right? So why shouldn't, you know, why is the Catholic Church not good enough for you? Why do you insist on going to church 3 times a week? I mean, good night, really. Me and your dad turned out all right, and we didn't go to church 3 times a week. And if you're not careful, you yield to that. And that is an ungodly loyalty. That's Micah, the idolater, following his idolatrous mother. And she loved him. Sometimes the people that love us will put a pry bar in and pry on us to get us to do their will because they think they're right. And so you have to have, a sanctified, separated mindset a little bit to realize that once in a while, you know, the habitual, you know, we've always got to have anniversary parties and big family birthday parties on Sunday night because that's just the best time. And look, you can go, you know, nobody's here all the time on Sunday night. Even I'm not, because I'm gone sometimes. I'm somewhere else on Sunday night sometimes, okay? But to make a habit of letting your family always call the shots is not a good precedent to set, because the simple inherit folly. I'll hit just a few more here. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 18. We have said that the simple inherit folly because they are not prudent by definition. They yield to urges. They give in to the flesh. They make bad decisions. They often have ungodly loyalty. In Chapter 18, verse 13. Let me show you this, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. You ever talk to somebody about the Bible or trying to, and you don't get it half out of your mouth before he already has the answer and shuts you down? You know, the problem with him is he doesn't want to be instructed. Right? 18:13. Read it again. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's a folly and a shame to him. It's not that often that a Roman Catholic will allow you to sit down and reason with them for 20 minutes because they're not interested in hearing. You get the first sentence out of your mouth and he knows where you're going and he shuts it down. Right? I'll give you another example of this. Look in chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. They cannot be instructed. The simple inherit folly because they refuse to learn. They cannot be instructed. Now, this verse connects a couple of things together. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. And most of us, as teenage young men, played the fool. I remember rejecting some of my dad's instruction. I wish I hadn't. I really do. Again, he wasn't a super spiritual man, but he had more wisdom than me. And he was a good man and a good father. And I shut him down more than once. And the simple inherit folly is what comes from it. Well, notice the fool despiseth his father's instruction. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. Notice that part of the father's instruction revolves around reproof. Now, I'm not going to take you through the whole list, but over and over and over again, you learn from the Bible that somebody being instructed must be reproved. You have to have the red mark on your paper saying, "That's wrong," so that you can know how to make it right. Okay, Proverbs 6, verse 23. Not going to chase this rabbit very far. 6:23, you'll be able to see it here. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction. See how integral reproofs are to instruction? You can't be truly instructed without being told where you're wrong. Okay? And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The reproofs of instruction are, that's the way you live. Now, I'll show you one more here, because the simple inherit folly because he cannot be instructed. Look in chapter 1 of Proverbs. And you'll notice here the whole context of the passage. Verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Not a good thing. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The turning away of the simple from what? From instruction. And from the reproofs of instruction. The simple inherit folly because they cannot be instructed. They won't be instructed. And you find sometimes, amongst ourselves, you'll find a Christian once in a while that just gets his neck bowed and his feet set. And on a certain matter, you're not going to change my mind. It's not because he's right, and it's not because he's studied. It's just because he's going to do it this way. Okay, and the simple inherit folly. And folly can be pretty nasty stuff, according to Ammon and Tamar, according to Hamor and Dinah, and other places, right? Okay, there's this as well. Again, there's only a few more. Let me take you back to Proverbs 26 for a second. Proverbs chapter 26. And verse 11. Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 11. Once again, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's twice we've hit that. Why? It's natural. And there's another issue. Chapter 1 again. 1 Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? If simplicity is being naive and dumb, he said, how long are you going to love being naive and dumb? How long is it that you're going to stick by where you just love your sin enough you don't want to be instructed, you don't want to hear anything different? I want to say that the simple inherit folly because he loves his sin. This is the condemnation that men love darkness more than light. That's as natural a thing as there is in the makeup of mankind. There's darkness that he loves. There's just some things he would rather not be informed the truth on. Of all people, we Christians have to put that down, because what you're supposed to love is the truth, not your sin. And that's why the simple inherit folly. Okay, there's a keep rolling with me just another minute or two. Proverbs chapter 7. We visited this guy before. Look what it says about him. And beheld among the simple ones, simple, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And so he's void of understanding, he is simple, and he's young. Now take two turns, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. Now, we've already seen this guy back in chapter 7 get seduced by the strange woman. Well, the strange woman shows back up here in chapter 9, verse 13. And notice, interestingly, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on the seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. And she winds up being the same harlot as the lady in chapter 7, right? Did you notice the thing they have in common? He's a young man. He's simple. And the Bible also says she's simple. So she's not just the predator and he's the prey. She's just as simple as he is. She got suckered into this life just like he is getting suckered. And so I learned from that that birds of a feather flock together. Both of them are simple. Dopeds got suckered in because they were simple. They were riding their bikes along one day and with three buddies, and the one buddy pulls something out of his pocket and says, "Hey, let's give this a try." And he knew he shouldn't, but they're his friends. And so in his simplicity, he goes ahead. And then flash forward to a few years later, and he's sleeping under a railroad trestle. Right? Because birds of a feather flock together. And so what you have when the simple inherit folly, if this is a generational issue, then what happens is a whole bunch of stupid, naive people keep going for the same bait that the devil casts, and they never learn their lesson. And they just get deeper and deeper, and it flows throughout the populace for generations at a time. Because the simple inherit folly. And there's one final thing. Go over to Proverbs 22. I didn't say it was the final verse yet. Almost. Proverbs 22. And this time, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. What's wrong with the simple guy? He passes on and he's punished. There may be another thing that contributes. Proverbs 5. And again, in the context of being ravished by a strange woman and being suckered in verse 20, you find in verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Sin is like a thread. Any guy, usually, you wrap the thread around twice, you can probably break the thread. But wrapped five times, six times, seven times, there's not too many strong men that can break five or six strands between those fingers, right? So they're holding in the cords of their sins. In the end, they give up. They resign. They just quit fighting. You know, I think the verse said, what was it in Proverbs 22? I need to go back and recover it because I didn't memorize it well enough. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple don't even bother. They just resign. They let sin take them. Pretty soon, you're not even fighting the battle. You just go with it. You know, pretty soon, you know, all the clickbait on the internet gets clicked. It's a dangerous proposition. Because the simple inherit folly. You just give in and go chase it. That's why the simple inherit folly. Let me show you two more verses. Proverbs 16. You know this because I've said it. I've learned this. I've learned that, and I don't mean to say that if you have a drug problem or a booze problem, that you probably don't need more help in the sense of being responsible and accountable. But most of us fight the flesh and sin and the devil pretty much alone. I'm not going to tell her everything that I fight. I'm not going to tell you everything I fight, right? So there's a lot of it that you have to fight alone. And so These are keys for me. 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Now, being purged from it, it may not mean that it never comes back ever again, but it means that you've purged yourself from it and it's gone, as long as you can keep it gone. Okay, so it's, now look, that's victory. We have a standing and we have a state. And in our state, if we can purge ourselves of something so that it's gone, and if you can keep it gone, that's a real victory, right? That's what you had to do with cigarettes. That's what you had to do with a bottle. That's what you had to do with a dozen other things. If you've busted the cord, that's what you had to do. And the Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So it's purged by you getting the truth and fully embracing the truth. And fully embracing the truth and having the problem that you have, you're probably going to fail. And so you're going to need mercy. And most of us have experienced that God has mercy for a long time. But still, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You keep going back through the cycle. If it doesn't clean you up, if you know one time reading through the Bible doesn't clean your bucket totally, then you go read through again because it gets a little cleaner every time. If you go back and fight that battle long enough, eventually you can put it away. By mercy, and truth, iniquity is purged. Then it says, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We said one of the problems that the simple has is that he loves his sin. There has to come a point where you fear God more than you love your sin, where you are more concerned about how God will judge you, that you're more afraid of that than you are of continuing to pursue that love of sin. And so the psalmist says in 119 verse 38, you don't have to turn there, I am devoted to thy fear. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. To me, those are the keys. Now, if you find you need another key, then go find another key. But that's what works for me. But make no mistake, it's the simple that inherit folly. A lot of us come from family issues. Like I said, the family the friend that I had back home, and that group of men, those two or three generations now, I guess, of men, those fathers who were, you know, of the same age as my father, who gave birth to sons that were the same age as me. I don't know what their progeny is now, but that group of guys together was a nasty, vile bunch. And it all had to do with them just clinging together. It didn't have to do with genetics. It had to do with the simple inheritance folly. And a lot of us, you know, a lot of us carry those sort of things within our families, in the sense that that's who we grew up with. And you know, Marcy comes, Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin is a different culture. Okay? And a lot of y'all have those same things. And you need to know, you know, whenever somebody comes in from another culture and tries to work their way in here, you know, I'm all for saying, alongside it with, you know, giving Ruth as the example, you need to leave your culture. Your culture is no longer American. Your culture is Christian. Your culture is Bible-believing Christianity. And so somebody shouldn't be offended when I tell a Malawian he needs to leave his culture and adopt this culture, because this is the culture that I adopted. And that's what you need to be conscious of. It's not your family. You don't have to be loyal to those people in that way. I'm not saying dishonor your father or mother. I'm saying that you don't have to honor their every wish for your life and allow them to control your life, because the simple inherit folly. Okay, I'm done. Let's pray. Father,